Queensland, where this, you know, the election is only 3 days away. It only happens every 4 years, and it's a big deal. I mean, we were just talking off air about how many people might not even realise that there's an election on Monday. Maybe not our listeners so much, but do you ever get surprised with people who just aren't really on the pulse of politics?
Yeah, I suppose it can be in a bit of a bubble when you're so close to these things. So for us, we're all very conscious of the upcoming election, but I think there might be some confusion between the state election on Saturday and then the federal election shortly. But
yeah,
either way, you only get a chance to exercise your democratic right as it affects the state once every 4 years, as you just said. So
that's right. Now, it can be a bit of a confusing mess of candidates if you suddenly stop and go, oh, I better go check out who I've got. But when it comes to the major parties, you've gone to sort out some responses to particularly the nightlife economy, lockout laws, venues opening and closing, licensing and all that sort of stuff. And you've managed to get responses from a whole bunch of the parties. Now, how did you go with getting those responses? You know, did you get sort of everyone getting back to you eventually? I know Coalition took a while.
Yeah, that's right. You know, it's as you'd expect, a sort of the speed at which people reply probably reflects the probability of them winning. Look, the good news is that everybody eventually did get back to us.
Yep.
And we've gone through and rated their policies against our policy, our own policy ask. And so, and that's available, the scorecard's available on the Unite for the Night website, which is at thatnameplus.org.au.
Yep.
And as you'd expect, Keep Sydney Open and the Greens are wholesale in favour of our policies. Labor's got a few reservations. The Coalition, very reticent to endorse everything we're asking for. But I would say that, and I think for your listeners, the good thing is you can actually go and read the full-blown responses.
And I saw the Coalition one. It's even got the signature on the bottom. It's a legit reply.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what I would say about that is that that reading between the lines, there is an intention or a desire to fix things. But there's just no commitment ahead of the election, as we're hoping for, to fix it or commit fully to a position. The wild card in all of it is, of course, Christian Democrats, who even came back and are highly supportive of a number of the things that we're after as well. So, yeah, I think, as I said, the Nighttime Industries Association is nonpartisan. When I was last on air, what we want to do is shed light on what the policies the parties are saying, and then people can look at that in the context of their voting options.
Well, that's right. It's all about educating people to make a decision that, you know, they believe in. Now, on this scorecard, you notice you mark the certain policies that are covered by the certain parties, and it seems quite significant that only two of the parties listed are looking to abolish the lockouts. Does that surprise you?
Well, it's one of those things that, especially for internationals visiting the city, it's just, what are we doing? we're all these people we're trying to protect from themselves. They're not there anymore. You know?
Exactly,
it is bonkers. Yeah. But what's sort of going on and behind the scenes there is that some of the, I guess, lobby groups on the other side of the debate, the police, paramedics and doctors, when they lobbied hard for it and it came through, you can imagine that amount of pressure. And both sides of politics supported it at the time.
Yeah.
And neither of the major parties wants to sort of go there or have a out-and-out fight with that coalition ahead of the election, and that's what that's about, really. So we can understand that. I can understand that at one level, but that's sort of in a way not my problem. My problem is to say, well, look, this is what the punters want. This is, and we think you should be bold enough and feel empowered by voters to go and change the law. If that's what the voting public, the majority of people want, then you should feel empowered by that populace to make that decision, as opposed to being persuaded by lobby groups on the other side of it.
Yeah, for sure. Now, the Coalition appear to be the only major party that wouldn't assign a nighttime commissioner. But can you tell us about what that might be, what a nighttime commissioner would do and how you see it working?
Yeah, look, it's one of these things, isn't it? I think I touched on it last time I was on air, that we just are not thinking about the nighttime as its own economy. And so as a result, the way government and the bureaucracy is structured at the moment, there's no one looking after it. It just falls between the cracks. And as far as the Coalition is concerned, it is simply falling between Don Harwin on one side, who's the Minister for Energy, Resources, Utilities and the Arts, and Paul Toole, the Minister for Liquor, Gaming and Racing, on the other side. So neither of them actually has carriage of the nighttime economy because they're not defined by their portfolios to have it. And I just think that's unacceptable. And And the reason for that is clear. We've talked about it. There's been $16 billion worth of shortfall every year in Sydney as a result of not thinking about nighttime economy.
That's right.
As reported by Deloitte, which is why for me, and I guess personally, but also for our members and the people we're talking to, it just seems unfathomable that the coalition come out and commit to putting someone in charge. That their argument is, I think, that they don't want to create more bureaucracy. And I think that as a taxpayer, we're all in favour of that. But I think that, of not paying for things unnecessarily, but why not assign it ministerial responsibility into cabinet so someone can speak for it and then use the existing arms of government to, you know, do the job and lobby for and, you know, get coordination between the relevant government departments while you restructure. And so the way that I think, so it needs ministerial responsibility for cabinet, and then it needs a commissioner go around and do all the work.
Yeah, right. I mean, and it's quite noticeable, but you know, everyone else has got a tick on that area, and the coalition hasn't sort of thought about that. It seems like they're quite behind in that area. I've noticed that the UK have a very similar association to the Nighttime Industry Association here. Have you been in contact with them or taken a look at how they run things? And what are some of the big differences you've seen between the two?
Yeah, so we're in touch with counterparts in the UK and also in Singapore. Each market's slightly different, as you can imagine. I think that what we are seeing here and the way that we've been formed very much because of the local conditions is to go out and find all those other participants in the nighttime economy, being arts, being music, being theatre, being performance, and join together with hospitality. The UK model is a little bit more traditional nightlife based.
Okay.
So a slightly different set of issues, but which reflect a different place, a different time. But very much on board with trying to drive a positive narrative around nightlife and its place in creativity. And similarly in Singapore, so not yet announced, but we're discussing with those organisations to enter into a formal MOU where we affiliate the association so that we can kind of get these three really important economies, which have long historic links, Sydney, London and Singapore, all on the same page around this, and then use, I guess, international trade measures to help facilitate the conversation about a vibrant nighttime economy here in Sydney.
Yeah, great. Now, you've got this Unite for the Night campaign, which had a gig just a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah,
I hope that went great.
Yeah, it was
awesome lineup. And you've been asking bars and sort of small bars and clubs and whatever to pause, take a moment to inform their guests about, you know, the fact the election's coming and some of the policies that are around that. Is that going to be people going to be out Friday night going to be expecting this sort of thing?
Well, we had a crack at it last Friday night. We had a number of bars do it. And so if they've done it, we can't see why other bars can't get on board and do the same. And so there's a bit of a call to arms to the venue scene at the moment for tonight, Thursday and Friday to stop sort of just for a couple of minutes and talk to the bars, which are full at those times, about the upcoming election and the importance of nightlife in that context. I think it's like many things, Mick, you know, we take things for granted. It's just part of human nature. You've got a great bar there, a great restaurant, cafe, etc. You love the fact that it's there. But sometimes these places, while they may look to be trading really well, the reality can be a very different story.
Yeah.
And what we know about the New South Wales situation is that we have a venue crisis here with 176 venues gone, and more are on the way. There are more small bars on the market now than there has ever been before.
Really?
That means that their business models are under significant pressure.
Mm.
And I think for the types of patrons that are in these venues, if they knew that that was the case, they would be more open to thinking about that as part of their voting choices, right? Because we love this stuff. It is the colour of the city, and not just being bar specific, but any cafe, restaurant, small retailer, any of these businesses. And so, and the types of people that patronise these bars are more than likely your listeners today and others. And so what we're asking the bar community to do, and they're doing it all too willingly, is to get up, jump up on their bar and just say, hang on a sec, guys, there's an election in a couple of weeks, and in a couple of days. And, you know, when it comes to it, familiarise yourself with the issues. And if you care about what we do, go and have a look at this website. It tells you what you need to know, and then cast your vote.
I really like that idea, and it's a great way of raising awareness for not only the issues that are at hand, but especially people just maybe don't realise it. And all it takes is a couple of minutes to go think about it. And then you just think about those discussions that happen in that bar and then flow on from there. I think it's a really, really cool initiative. I don't know what to say. I guess it's up to the people on Saturday to do it, to think about it, look into the policies, decide what's important to them, and then head on down for that sausage and that vote on Saturday. And yeah, thanks a lot for coming in again and just elaborating on what the Nighttime Industry Association does. And if you are interested, like we said, go to uniteforthenight.org.au or ntia.org.au as well. And yeah, I get good luck with the future, and hopefully we got something to go forward with.
Absolutely.